The immediate aftermath of 9/11, when NATO invoked Article 5 for the first time, and the United Nations Security Council was united in the face of terror, we answered the call together, as our people have done so for more than a century, shoulder to shoulder through two world wars, the Cold War, Afghanistan, and moments that have defined our shared security. Today, Mr. Speaker, that same unyielding resolve is needed for the defence of Ukraine and her most courageous people.
And free communication. So much so that Russians feel that they live behind an iron curtain again, this time a digital iron curtain. But, honourable members, if history has one lesson, it's that all walls eventually fall.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 29th. Coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with King Charles' speech to Congress, a speech that is receiving a whole lot of praise from UK media, from US media. He got many, many standing ovations from both sides of the aisle as he was delivering this speech to the United States Congress. Look, it was a globalist speech. That is how I would describe King Charles's speech. A globalist speech to the United States of America, to the United States elite class, the king of all the Britons. His message to the United States was to remain committed to the globalist agenda, remain committed to the globalist cause. And just like in the past, if we stick together, the US and the UK, then we can continue to rule the world. That was pretty much his message to the U.S. Congress and to U.S. President Donald J. Trump. That was King Charles's speech, if I had to summarize it. And he may not be too far off if the collective West and the U.S. and the U.K. do remain united and committed to the globalist agenda, given how soft BRICS, Russia, China are, perhaps they can continue to rule over the world together, the US and the UK. But the UK needs the US in order to rule over the vast empire. So Charles talked about the history between the U.S. and the U.K., the shared history, the shared values, the unbreakable friendship, the alliance between the two countries. He talked about the Cold War. He talked about Afghanistan. He mentioned 9/11 and how the U.K. was right by the U.S.'s side during 9/11, he also talked about the problems that the alliance, the collective West, faces today. And he talked about Project Ukraine. Yes, he mentioned Project Ukraine. Our people have done so far more than a century, shoulder to shoulder, through two world wars, the Cold War, Afghanistan, and moments that have defined our shared security. Today, that same underlying resolve is needed for the defense of Ukraine and her most courageous people. So stay committed to the war, the proxy war against Russia. Stay committed to Project Ukraine. He talked about the Arctic. He talked about AUKUS. And he mentioned how, as King Charles, he is the sovereign of Australia as well. He said something like that during his speech. And that was it. That was his speech to Congress. King Charles, the king of all the Britons. I am King Charles, king of the Britons. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? What do you mean? A European swallow or an African swallow? I don't know the answer to that question. Do you know what movie I'm talking about? I think everyone knows the movie that I'm talking about. How do you know so much about swallows? When you're king, you have to know these things. Perhaps the greatest comedy movie in all of history, that's for sure. Anyway, King of the Britons, King Charles. So let's move on. And let's talk about the attack on the Tuapse oil refinery, the Russian oil refinery located in the Black Sea area. I believe in the Krasnodar region. And this refinery has been hit 3 times now by Ukrainian drones. 3 freaking times. And this third time was a big one. It looks like a lot of damage was done to this refinery. So much damage that I've read reports that this is causing an environmental catastrophe. The oil refinery was smashed. A lot of oil spilling and leaking. And this is causing a lot of damage to the environment in the region. At least these are some of the reports that I've read with this third strike on this refinery located in the Black Sea. And the strike on Tuapse was done right at the time when Arachi, the foreign minister of Iran, was meeting with Putin and with Lavrov. So as the Iranian foreign minister is in Russia, in St. Petersburg, meeting with top-level Russian officials, including the president, you have the United States providing the satellite and the targeting for the Ukraine drones to strike this refinery, and they hit it. They hit it hard. Chaos, black rain, evacuations, Tuapse oil facility struck for 3rd time this month. Rosneft's sprawling oil refinery in southern port town of Tuapse has been struck by Ukrainian drones once again, unleashing a huge fire and significant destruction in what makes the 3rd such attack just this month. So a message from the Trump administration, a message from the United States to Russia as you're meeting with Iran. Here's a gift for you. Here's a message for you. We're going to hit your refinery just to kind of put Russia in its place. And also the Trump administration continuing to hurt any energy competition around the world. Wherever there is any kind of competition in oil and gas, the United States continues to strike those facilities, to seize tankers and ships, to knock out any competitors anywhere they may be located in the world, whether they're off the coast of Venezuela, whether they're in Asia, right off the coast of Iran, close to the Strait of Hormuz, or if it even means striking into Russian Federation territory. The Trump administration continues to cause damage and chaos to any energy competitors, to any and all energy competitors. What is Russia doing about this? What is Putin doing about this? Putin is quiet. He is quiet. He is not saying anything. Maria Zakharova said some stuff about the diplomacy that is taking place between Russia, Ukraine, and the United States, saying that Russia prefers some sort of diplomatic solution, but the terms that Ukraine has put forward are obviously not going to be agreed on by the Russian Federation. And then she noted how talks have stalled between the U.S. and Russia. I believe Maria Zakharova did mention how at least the Trump administration takes into account Russia's interests. They take into account Russia's interests. They listen to Russia's interests as they target refineries inside of Russia and then let their proxy Ukraine send in drones to strike those facilities. But at least they listen. At least the Trump administration is listening. Yeah, Putin's gone quiet. He has gone quiet. He doesn't talk about Project Ukraine. He doesn't make any statements about Project Ukraine. Nothing. Zero, zilch, nada, ничего. As the drones continue to fly into the Russian Federation and continue to strike oil facilities. That is the situation. And we have big news coming out of the UAE. They announced yesterday that they will be leaving OPEC. Not only will they be leaving OPEC, but they are exiting OPEC Plus as well. And this is going to take effect, I believe, on May 1st. The UAE, one of the big players in OPEC, one of the big producers in OPEC and OPEC Plus, will be leaving on May the 1st. Many analysts believed that this was coming, and perhaps the war in the Middle East, the war against Iran, accelerated this move from the UAE. But everything that I've read says that sooner or later the UAE was going to exit OPEC because it was not in their interest to remain in the cartel. The UAE wanted more control of their production and of their output. And so given everything that has happened in the Middle East with the war and the blockade of Iran and of the Strait of Hormuz, the UAE said it's time to exit the OPEC cartel. And so that is exactly what they are doing. They are Audi 5000. I imagine the UAE also understands, given all the moves from the United States and the Trump administration, which has unleashed a global energy war, they obviously understand that it's better for them to go solo, to look after their own interests, their own production, create their own partnerships and alliances. Every man for himself. That's where we are at this moment. No more cartels. No more stuff like that. We're going to probably see other countries following in the UAE's footsteps and exiting OPEC. Maybe not immediately, but sooner or later, more countries will want to gain control of their production and of their output, and they're going to want to exit the Saudi-led cartel, and that's what this really affects the most. That is who this really affects the most. It is Saudi Arabia. So we're going to wait and see what moves Saudi Arabia makes. The pressure is now on the Saudis, especially if we start to see an exodus of other OPEC members. But yeah, an energy war, and everyone needs to start looking after their own interests and their own business. That is where we are. That is where we are heading. So that was big news. The UAE exiting OPEC. Angola, Ecuador, Indonesia, and Qatar have withdrawn from OPEC in the past for various reasons, ranging from an unwillingness to pay membership fees to broader political tensions among Gulf nations in the case of Qatar's 2019 decision to leave. So it has happened in the past. We have had countries exit OPEC. I believe the UAE was the number three producer in the cartel. So they had a pretty big position in OPEC. Trump posted on True Social yesterday about the war with Iran. He claims that Iran has told him that they are in a state of collapse. That is what the President of the United States claims Iran told him. This is absolutely true, everybody. I absolutely believe everything that Donald Trump is saying in this Truth Social post. Iran has just informed us that they are in a state of collapse. They want us to open the Hormuz Strait as soon as possible as they try to figure out their leadership situation, which I believe they will be able to do. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. That's exactly how diplomacy works. This is exactly how countries, how nation states talk to each other. Exactly how they talk to each other. So look, Iran, they called up the White House, 1-800 Donald J. Trump, 1-800 White House. So they called up the White House and they asked for Donald Trump. And they told the U.S. President, Mr. Trump, we have to let you know that we're in a state of collapse. Oh, really? I like it. I like it. I like the state of collapse. That's right, Mr. President of the United States. We're calling to let you know that we're in a state of collapse. And that we just want to open the Strait of Hormuz. We want you to open the Strait of Hormuz. We have some leadership problems. We just got to let you know that things are a bit chaotic. We don't know who exactly is leading our country because you've obliterated everyone. And when we figure it out, then we'll get back to you. But just keep in mind that we are in a state of collapse. No problem. I like it. I like the state of collapse. I'm sure you'll figure out your leadership problems. So yeah, this post on Truth Social has absolutely nothing to do with the rising price of oil. Absolutely nothing to do with the fact that Brent crude passed $111. Nope, nothing to do with any of that. Not connected at all. Trump also posted on True Social at around 4 in the morning, I believe, Eastern Time. He posted on True Social, Iran can't get their act together. They don't know how to sign a non-nuclear deal. They better get smart soon, President DJT. And it has a photo of Trump holding a machine gun, everything exploding behind him with the title, No More Mr. Nice Guy. They don't know how to sign a non-nuclear deal. Well, they had a non-nuclear deal signed. It was called the JCPOA, which you tore up, Mr. Nice Guy. You tore up that non-nuclear deal, or that nuclear deal, or whatever you want to call it. You tore it up, not Iran. They negotiated it. They signed it. They agreed to it. They adhered to it. And you tore it up. By the way, Trump also lashed out at BlackRock Mertz. I talked about BlackRock Mertz in my video update yesterday and how he said that the Trump administration had been humiliated by Iran. A German chancellor, BlackRock Merz, talking about a country being humiliated. Nord Stream, anybody? BlackRock Merz, Nord Stream? I would say that's pretty much peak humiliation. But anyway, that was BlackRock Merz yesterday. And as I said in my video update, I predicted that Daddy's not going to be happy, and Daddy was not happy. The Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, thinks it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. He doesn't know what he's talking about. If Iran had a nuclear weapon, the whole world would be held hostage. I am doing something with Iran right now that other nations or presidents should have done long ago. No wonder Germany is doing so poorly, both economically and otherwise. President Donald J. Trump. I'm kind of surprised. Trump could have been a lot harder on Merz. He was kind of soft on BlackRock Merz, to be honest. There was a whole lot of ammo that you had to go after Merz with Merz saying that the United States is being humiliated by Iran. Trump had a lot of cards to play there as he was putting together this message on Truth Social. So he was very soft on Mr. Merz. So let's talk about Greece. Greece is taking the lead in removing anonymity from the internet, from social media. The digital minister of Greece, Mr. Papastergiou, he said that, or he is pushing an agenda that, according to Euractiv, would mean that Greece will ban anonymous accounts, anonymous users on all social media. Greece's digital governance minister, Dimitris Papastergiou, confirmed today that the plan is meant to fight toxicity, hoaxes, and character assassinations. Mr. Papastergiou says modern digital democracy should be inspired by ancient Greece, where citizens openly expressed their views. What a dumb statement from the Greek digital governance minister. He really does not know anything about ancient Greek history, does he? Because if he knew anything about ancient Greece, he would know that the ancient Greeks pretty much invented anonymity and anonymous voting and anonymous expression. That's right. The ancient Greeks were very much aware of how being anonymous can actually protect individuals and can actually lead to an even more honest and more free expression of speech and thought. The Greeks knew these things. The ancient Greeks knew these things. The modern Greek elite, not so much. Not so much. Yeah, the ancient Greeks, they would have secret ballots when they would vote. They would vote sometimes with secret ballots. They would vote with pebbles or with pottery shards. So like if they wanted to ostracize someone or to send someone into exile, they would do it anonymously. And so they would use like pottery shards to send someone into exile. They would vote with pamphlets, anonymous pamphlets and stuff like that. Yeah, the ancient Greeks were all about anonymous voting and anonymous speech. Absolutely. What are you talking about, Greek digital minister Papastergiou? I hate it when they bring up the ancient Greeks, when the Greek globalist elite bring up the ancient Greeks in order to push some sort of authoritarian agenda, because they believe that the modern Greeks and modern society has no understanding of the real history. I hate that. I don't like it. We know as Greeks that the ancient Greeks were doing many things anonymously, so don't try to tell us they were not. To remove toxicity in social media. Yeah, that's what this is all about. The globalist elite are very concerned with toxicity on social media. I think we could make a deal with our overlords in Brussels. If they are, if they remove their anonymity from all of the internet, that includes text messages with certain pharmaceutical companies, if they remove all the anonymity and are open with us and display every agreement and every deal that they make in a very open, transparent manner, including the money that goes to Le Gobelin Vert, if you guys are open with us, then sure, we'll be open with you. We'll remove our anonymity from social media, but you got to show us the damn text messages with Pfizer, Ursula. You got to reveal those messages. Where are those text messages? Where is the money to Le Gobelin Vert really going? Let's get rid of anonymity across the board. I like it. I like it a lot. Comey indicted for a second time. They are going after James Comey, the U.S. DOJ. And this time they're going after Comey for the post on Instagram. Remember that post where Comey saw some pebbles or some seashells, and they were formed in such a way that we got the number 8647. Comey said, "Cool shell formation on my beach walk." And you saw the number 8647. And it is believed, it is alleged that Comey was trying to send some sort of a message at the time, because 4-7 could be referencing President Donald J. Trump. Could. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it could. And 8-6 could be referencing some sort of...
Alex.
Yes.
Hello, my friend.
Hello. One second, let me put the phone away. How you doing?
I had a feeling I might go in there.
Yeah? All right.
I watch you every day. And...
You don't mind if your voice is on
no,
video?
No,
okay,
no,
okay,
problem,
cool.
No
cool. Cool.
We stayed down in Paphos and I seen you yesterday, and I thought, we're going to Limassol today. I wonder if I'll bump into it.
Awesome, awesome. Where are you visiting, or?
Yeah, we're just on holiday from England.
From England, all right. Yeah, yeah. Did you catch the King's speech to Congress?
No, not yet.
I just talked about it.
You've got a very good American accent.
Thank you. All over. New York, D.C., California, Arizona. I lived everywhere in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everywhere in Greece and Cyprus.
Greece and Cyprus. How do you like it here?
Oh, it's great.
You like it, huh?
Yeah.
So you were in Paphos, and now you're going to stay in Limassol for a little bit, or?
Just for the
you're
day.
Going back
just
to Paphos.
Just come to see what we couldn't afford.
Yeah, Limassol is...
I don't think he was expecting to bump into the road.
Well, I'm walking around. I'm walking around. Yeah, I'm walking around everywhere.
And you got rid of the flow, eh?
Yeah, I got rid of it. That was a tough couple of days.
Yeah, you looked a bit...
Yeah, but now, you know, we got the sun and... It's about 30, what is it, like 30 degrees today, I think, or something?
Yeah, we're coming on holiday. We look to see what you're wearing, so we know what the weather's like.
That's actually a good, yeah, everyone that's watching this video, if you want to see what the weather is like in Cyprus, just see what I'm wearing. Today I've actually got shorts on. We've all got shorts on.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So how long are you here for?
10 days.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Go home.
Enjoy.
We were here in November.
Okay.
And then we came back. Good. Same hotel in Paphos, you know.
Paphos is beautiful. Yeah. I think it's the most beautiful of cities, even though Limassol is...
We used to stay in
Paphos. ...is where the energy is, yeah. Proteras, yeah.
A lot. We used to like it up there, but we haven't been for years, so we come back to go to Paphos.
Yeah. Proteras is a different side of the island, yeah. Paphos is a different... vibe, I would say.
Yeah,
but it's good that you came to Limassol, because this is very much where all the energy is. Yeah. Awesome. And the marina is a great place to relax
nice
and enjoy
to meet
the day.
You anyway,
great to meet you.
Take care.
Nice take care.
You.
Have a great holiday in Cyprus and enjoy it. And and I'll look for you on the comments.
Keep us abreast of it.
Absolutely. Take care. So 8647. So it's thought that the 86 was referencing some sort of mafia code or something with the 8 meaning, I believe, like 8 miles and six meaning 6 feet under, something like that. Some sort of Sopranos mafia message. And so Comey put that up on Instagram. And there was a lot of talk saying that Comey was putting out some sort of a threat. And now it looks like he is going to face an indictment. James Comey. Not a fan of James Comey. Not a fan. It's about time that they're starting to go after some of these people, the Trump White House. Jeez. Now all we need is some Epstein indictments, right? We're not going to get any of that. Did Charles talk about Andrew? No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. Of course not. Anyway. All right. There's some music over here. Let's walk this way. I think we can go through here. So should we do a clown world and wrap up this video? Let's do it. Today's clown world, we focus on Kid Rock. Kid Rock. What's Kid Rock's song? Boom, baba, boom, boom, or something he says, or I'm a cowboy or something. I don't know. I forgot Kid Rock's songs. But he has one song where he just kind of raps some gibberish kind of thing. And then he has another song where he talks about being a cowboy or something. But anyway, Kid Rock. Kid Rock was at the Pentagon. Of course he was at the Pentagon. when you're in a war with Iran, when you're in a quagmire stuck in a war with Iran, who better to have at the Pentagon than Kid Rock? What's he doing at the Pentagon, man? Anyway, Hegseth invited Kid Rock to the Pentagon. According to reports, they rode around in helicopters. A real good use of money from Hegseth at the Department of War. Join my friend Kid Rock and some of our great U.S. Army Apache pilots for a ride this morning. More to come on that. Kid Rock is a patriot and huge supporter of our troops. The War Department is wasting no time celebrating America's 250th home of the free because of the brave. Okay, so there you have it. Kid Rock celebrating the 250th home of the free because of the brave at the War Department, riding around in Apache helicopters. A statement from Sean Parnell, the Pentagon's chief spokesman. He said about Kid Rock's appearance that the visit today provided an opportunity for Kid Rock to thank service members, highlight the professionalism of the men and women supporting the mission, and recognize their continued sacrifice in honor of our nation, Mr. Parnell said. The department is grateful for Kid Rock's longtime support of our troops. Yeah, I'm sure all of America was wondering, when is Kid Rock going to the Pentagon? When is he going to the Pentagon? To thank everybody. I was wondering that myself. Nothing felt right. Something didn't feel right with the U.S. Army, with the Department of War, with the war against Iran, because Kid Rock did not make an appearance. Oh, boy. All right. That's one clown world. Do I have another clown world? Not really. Not really. Everyone's wondering if the trial in the UK with the three boys or young men that burned Stalmer's car, allegedly burned Stalmer's car and allegedly set fire to some stuff, if that trial is going to be covered by the UK media, because it looks like they don't want to talk about it. The UK mainstream media is apparently very quiet about the trial. So if I have any information on what's going on with the trial, I will definitely talk about it. But the UK mainstream media does not want to touch it. I wonder why. I wonder why. And I think that's it. I think that's everything. We have some more stuff going on with the World Cup, kind of conflicting reports. The Trump administration is saying that Iran is not going to be allowed to participate in the World Cup in the United States. And I've read other reports which claim that Iran is absolutely going to attend the World Cup. They're not going to play in the United States. They will play at venues outside the United States. And that the Iranian football team is going to pay tribute, or they're going to use the World Cup to pay tribute and honor the lives of the 168 school children, the girls that were killed in Minab. I've read those reports as well. So I don't know which one it is, if Trump is going to ban Iran from playing in the World Cup, which would mean that the World Cup is pretty much useless if the host country, if one of the host countries can just ban whoever they want. If Iran is going to actually show up and they change the venue and perhaps they play in Mexico, if they are going to play and honor the girls that were killed from the U.S. Tomahawk strike in the first couple of days of the war. We'll see. We will find out as we get closer to the World Cup, which is starting up pretty much in a month and a half, I believe. So it is right around the corner. That is the video, everybody. Like this video, share, subscribe to this channel. If you're watching from your mobile device, you can smash the hype button. You get 3 hypes a week. So if you allocate 1 hype to this channel, that would be very much appreciated from your mobile device. And check us out on Substack. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch like what I'm wearing today, and I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.